Hey y'all, Ohio Crime Mom here, and since I think I've already announced this on the last episode, but this entire month is Pride Month, and so for each case this month, we will be doing cases that revolve around the LGBTQ+ community. This week, we have the Kitty Genovese case, and I do want to say before we jump in that there is a documentary that you should watch called The Witness. I believe I talked about it in my top 10 favorite documentaries of all times. But if you have a chance to check that out, I highly, highly recommend it. It is one of the best documentaries I've ever watched, and it's actually directed, filmed, and shot by Kitty's brother. So with that being said, we are going to go ahead and jump into this week's case. Catherine Susan, a.k.a. Kitty Genovese, was born on July 7, 1935 in Brooklyn, New York, to parents Rachel and Vincent Genovese. Kitty would go on to be the oldest of five siblings. She was known in her teenage years to have a sunny disposition and to be wise beyond her years. In 1954, the Genovese family would move to a New Canaan, Connecticut, after Rachel, her mother, witnessed a murder. Kitty would stay behind with her grandparents, though, because she was due to be married, but this marriage would be annulled at the end of 1954. By the late 1950s, Kitty began working as a bartender. In August of 1961, she would be arrested for being a bookie. Basically, she was taking bets on horse races from bar regulars, and this caused her to lose her job after the arrest. She was soon hired at Eve's 11th Hour Bar and began working doubles to save money to open her own Italian restaurant. This had been her dream since a child. At the time, she met her girlfriend, Mary Ann Zelenko. And I apologize if I said that name wrong. Some of these names are very hard for me to find proper pronunciations on. She met Mary Ann in 1963. The two moved quick and began living together at the 8270 Austin Street Apartments. On March 13, 1964, at around 2:30 a.m., Kitty left the bar that she was working at and headed home. She arrived in the parking lot for her complex at 3:15 a.m. As she walked down the alleyway to her apartment, a man exited his car and began walking towards her, armed with a hunting knife. Kitty began running to her apartment, but was overtaken and stabbed two times in the back. Kitty screamed, quote, "Oh my God, he stabbed me. Help me," end quote. Many neighbors heard the cry, and one man named Robert Moser even yelled at the attacker to leave her alone, but no one called police. Kitty was able to then stumble to the rear entrance of the apartment complex, where she lied seriously injured and out of view of any potential witnesses. Witnesses then saw the attacker enter his car and leave, but he returned only 10 minutes later. And now we're going to take a break to hear from this week's sponsors. Rella's Wonder Crafts is a small, family-owned crafting business located here in Southern Ohio. They make a variety of crafts from custom shirts and tumblers to decals and wreaths, plus so much more. Since 2017, they have been creating magic and happiness by bringing their customers and visions to life. Come take a peek into their world. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Etsy, and TikTok. And just in time for Christmas, you can get so many great things. The attacker then found Kitty lying in the back hallway, barely conscious. He then stabbed her several more times before raping her and stealing $49. The two attacks span an hour and a half. Kitty had tried to defend herself due to the knife wounds that were on her hands and arms. Shortly after that final attack, close friend and neighbor Sophia Farrar found Kitty and held her arms until an ambulance arrived. Kitty was picked up by an ambulance at 4:15 a.m. and died en route to the hospital. She was laid to rest on March 16, 1964, in Lakeview Cemetery in New Canaan, Connecticut. Mary Ann, which was Kitty's girlfriend, was questioned the same morning beginning at 7 a.m. first by Detective Mitchell and then by homicide detectives John Carroll and Jerry Burns, who focused on her relationship with Kitty. She was at this time considered a main suspect. Mary Ann, would go on to say, quote, "Being a gay woman in that society was very hard, so we were in the closet a lot. In fact, her family didn't know. I mean, they know now, but there was denial there. It was very hard then," end quote. On March 19th, 1964, 6 days after the murder of Kitty Genovese, Winston Mosley was arrested for suspected robbery. During his questioning, Mosley admitted to murdering Kitty, as well as two other women. Annie Mae Johnson, who had been shot and burned to death in her apartment just a few weeks prior, and Barbara Kralak, who had been killed in the previous July. Winston Mosley was only 29 years old when he murdered Kitty Genovese. During questioning, he said his motive was just killing women because they were easy to attack. Mosley was married and had 3 children and no criminal record. On the night of the murder, Mosley said he woke up at 2 a.m. and left his sleeping family at home to drive around Queens to find a victim. Mosley was charged for Kitty's murder, and his trial would begin on June 8th of 1964. He originally pled not guilty, but later changed his plea to not guilty due to insanity. Jurors would deliberate for 7 hours before finding Mosley guilty at 10:30 p.m. on June 11th, 1964. On June 15th, 1964, Mosley was sentenced to death, but his sentence was changed on June 1st of 1967, when the Court of Appeals said he should have been able to argue his insanity. His sentence was then reduced to life in prison. Mosley's 18th time being denied for parole would be his last, and he would pass away on March 28th of 2016. He was 81 and had served 52 years in prison. And that is the case of Kitty Genovese. I apologize for a lot of these cases here recently being shorter. The cases on the MMIW and LGBTQ+ are a lot harder to find information on because they are not widely televised or reported on. So they are shorter cases. We have one more LGBTQ+ case next week, and that will be the Jenny Jones Show murder. And then we will be getting into some longer cases. We have a 2-part series coming up, and I don't know if I've said it yet or not, but I have all of Mama Ween planned out for this year, and I'm super excited for it. Also, before we do our small business spotlight, I want to remind you guys that this coming Saturday, which would be June 26th, we will be doing the 1-year anniversary giveaway for Ohio Crime Mom. If you are not a part of the Ohio Crime Mom Facebook group, I urge you to go and join and get your entries in so that way you can be entered into the drawing to win a huge gift basket full of things from our small business spotlights. I thank you guys so much for listening for almost a year now. It means more than what you could ever imagine. I know we got a slow start at it, and there's been a lot of times that I haven't been able to record, and I apologize for that. But I am trying to get back on track and trying to make it to where we can hopefully very soon have 2 episodes a week. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and do this week's small business spotlight. And that will be Itty Bitty Bows. This is one of my friends, Taylor. She makes bows of all sizes and head wraps, and she will soon be making scrunchies and mom head wraps. You can find her on Facebook. It's a public group that is Itty Bitty Bows. And when you go, and if you make a purchase, let her know that Ashley from Ohio Crime Mom sent you her way. And until next week, this has been Ohio Crime Mom. Thanks.